Good evening, and welcome to Quick News Briefing. I'm Arjiv. On this day in history, May 12, 1941, Konrad Zuse presented the Z3, the world's first fully automatic, programmable digital computer, laying foundational groundwork for the technological advancements we see today, including in AI. Today, we're bringing you the latest headlines from around the globe, covering everything from AI in manufacturing to international conflicts, US elections, and major developments in India, along with the latest from the world of sports. We're drawing on reports from ESPN ChrisInfo.com, NDTV News, The New York Times, US Top News and Analysis, and many other trusted sources. Joining me as always is our stellar reporter, Arohi, with all the in-depth summaries. Arohi, let's dive right into our first story, which takes us into the intersection of AI and industry. A recent report highlighted a significant lag in American factories adopting artificial intelligence, yet one pharmaceutical company stands out. Can you tell us more about Bristol-Myers Squibb's unique position?
Absolutely. It's true that most U.S. manufacturers are slow to integrate AI into their operations, missing out on potential productivity gains. However, a Bristol-Myers Squibb plant dedicated to producing cancer drugs was the sole U.S. manufacturer this year to be recognized by the World Economic Forum for its innovation in AI adoption. This distinction underscores their pioneering efforts in leveraging advanced technology to optimize drug manufacturing processes, setting a benchmark for the industry.
That's a fascinating insight into the future of manufacturing. From technology, let's pivot to the political landscape here in the U.S. There are significant developments in congressional redistricting. Alabama, in particular, has been in the spotlight. What's the latest on that front, and how is it impacting the upcoming elections?
In Alabama, a special primary election is now scheduled for 4 of its 7 congressional districts. This comes after the Supreme Court cleared the way for new maps, following a ruling that found the state's previous districts to be racially gerrymandered. This decision has sent ripples throughout the South, with other states also grappling with how redistricting will shape their electoral outcomes and minority representation in Congress.
And speaking of congressional races, Omaha, Nebraska, is poised for a particularly interesting contest this year. What makes this specific House race such a focal point?
Omaha's U.S. House race is widely considered a toss-up this election cycle. Historically, voters in this district have shown a willingness to cross party lines and support moderate candidates from either side. However, the definition of what constitutes a moderate in today's polarized political climate appears to be shifting, making this race a crucial test for candidates' ability to appeal to a broad electorate beyond traditional party lines.
Staying in Nebraska, there's also news from the gubernatorial race. What's the outlook for Governor Jim Pillen's re-election bid?
Governor Jim Pillen, a Republican, is seeking another term in a state that is solidly Republican. He will face Democrat Lynn Walz. While Pillen starts with a significant advantage, Democrats are certainly facing an uphill battle as they seek to unseat the incumbent governor. The race will test voter engagement and the effectiveness of grassroots campaigns in a traditionally red state.
From domestic politics, let's broaden our view to global affairs, specifically the ongoing international situation surrounding the Iran war, which seems to have far-reaching implications. Our own analysis indicates that this conflict is casting a long shadow over President Trump's trip to China and, indeed, his entire presidency. What exactly are the key takeaways from this analysis?
The analysis highlights that the economic and political damage stemming from the Iran war is substantial, and there's no quick fix in sight. The conflict is deeply intertwined with diplomatic efforts, global trade, and strategic alliances, making it a critical factor influencing President Trump's foreign policy agenda, including his interactions with leaders like Xi Jinping during his China trip. The ripple effects are truly global.
And those global ripples are certainly being felt in our economy. We're hearing about accelerating inflation. How directly is the Iran war contributing to this, particularly in terms of energy costs?
Inflation is indeed accelerating, and the Iran war is a primary driver, particularly due to its impact on global energy costs. The conflict has disrupted supply lines and created uncertainty in oil markets, pushing prices higher. Additionally, Russia's continued attacks on U.S. companies operating in Ukraine further exacerbate economic instability, adding to inflationary pressures at the end of Tuesday.
Beyond energy, are we seeing these supply chain disruptions affect other sectors as well? I've heard reports of surprising impacts, like changes in consumer packaging.
That's right. The effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, a critical choke point for global trade, has severely disrupted not just energy supplies but also petrochemicals, which are essential for many industries. A notable example is a major snack giant that has had to switch to black and white packaging due to shortages and rising costs of colored inks. It's a stark illustration of how far-reaching the economic consequences of this conflict are.
Despite these widespread economic challenges and the ongoing war, the stock market seems to be showing resilience, even rallying. Many might find that counterintuitive. What's behind this apparent disconnect?
It might seem so, but analysts suggest the stock market isn't ignoring the Iran situation. Instead, it's rallying for specific underlying reasons, even as the U.S.-Iran conflict enters its third month. These reasons often include factors like corporate earnings exceeding expectations in certain sectors, strong domestic economic data, or investor confidence in specific policy responses. The market is finding drivers beyond the immediate conflict news.
Shifting our focus to another international flashpoint, Israel's government is reportedly on the brink of collapse. What's the core issue threatening Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition?
The primary issue threatening to bring down Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government is the contentious ultra-Orthodox military draft. An ultra-Orthodox Jewish party within his coalition has called for parliament to be dissolved, signaling a deep division over the conscription of religious students into the military, which they oppose. This has created a significant crisis that could lead to new elections.
And in Africa, Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has just been sworn in for an unprecedented seventh term. Can you provide more details on his extended rule?
Yoweri Museveni, now 81, was sworn in to extend his 40-year rule, making this his record seventh term in office. His re-election in January came after disputed elections, which faced criticism from opposition parties and international observers regarding their fairness and transparency. His extended tenure raises ongoing questions about democratic processes in Uganda.
Moving our attention to India, a major scandal has rocked the education sector with the NEET UG exam paper leak. What's the latest in the ongoing investigation?
The NEET UG exam 2026 paper has been cancelled for over 2.2 million students, causing immense disruption. Authorities have made progress in the leak probe, with a mastermind arrested in Jaipur. The investigation has revealed a complex network, tracing the paper's journey from Nashik to Rajasthan via Haryana before the exams. The fallout and the path forward for affected students remain a significant concern nationwide.
And from national educational news to state politics, India is also seeing major developments in Tamil Nadu's government formation. What's unfolding there, particularly with the entry of actor-turned-politician Vijay?
In Tamil Nadu, the process of government formation is dynamic. Vijay, who recently launched his own political party, has been actively meeting allies to rally support. His entry has already sparked controversy, particularly regarding an astrologer's reported appointment within his inner circle. Further complicating matters is the dilemma of AIADMK rebels, who technically cannot vote for Vijay due to their affiliation with the EPS-headed AIADMK faction. The upcoming trust vote is shaping up to be a critical battleground for EPS to test his party's strength and cohesion against Vijay's rising influence.
Finally, let's round out our news with some sports. In the world of cricket, who is Madhav Tiwari, and why is he making such a splash for Delhi Capitals?
Madhav Tiwari is quickly becoming a standout player for Delhi Capitals. He's gaining recognition for his impressive all-round abilities, famously claiming to be 100% bowler and 100% batter. His recent performance was remarkable. He followed up figures of 2-for-40 with a vital cameo with the bat, helping DC successfully chase down a challenging target of 211. He's definitely one to watch in the international cricket scene.
Arohi, thank you for those comprehensive updates on all the top stories today.
My pleasure.
Before we sign off, here's a unique fun fact for you. Did you know that the world's first webcam was created in 1991 at Cambridge University, not for security or video calls, but to monitor a coffee pot? Researchers wanted to see if the pot was empty before making the trip to the communal coffee room. That's all for today's quick news briefing. Thank you for joining us. Have a great evening.